Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Christ Jesus, who gives us his very body and blood, in this simple yet majestic meal of his supper, dear fellow redeemed, most of us know the words of institution, if not because we have it every time we have communion. Maybe it's because we were assigned to memorize it in confirmation class. Well, let's read it again. Taking note of the simplicity of the words and of the actions, but also of their grandeur and also their splendor. We have a shortened version in our sermon text this evening from Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." You may be seated. This is the Savior's feast. And our first point is, this is a feast which is so simple that we may miss its glory. Could anything be more simple? Jesus and his disciples had come to celebrate the Passover festival. It was an exciting night. And it had been celebrated every night for some 1,500 years on that Passover evening. Passover was a central festival of the Jewish calendar year. Everybody wanted to celebrate the Passover, the disciples included. It was a yearly celebration and memorial, remembrance of Israel's being set free from their slavery in Egypt. In memoriam, in remembrance of the glory, the power, the majesty of God, who delivered all of his children, who had painted their doorposts with the blood of the Lamb that was slain. He passed over their homes, but struck down dead the firstborn of all the homes in Egypt who did not have the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts. But this night was different. This night was special. At the end of the Passover celebration, quietly and with no fanfare, Jesus did something new. Jesus did something different. At the end of this old festival feast, he created a new feast. At the end of this feast celebrating the old covenant of God, he created a feast of the new covenant, the new promise. Jesus did this so simply that you have to wonder if the disciples at that time really understood the magnitude and the significance of that event. And probably not. Not at that time. Remember, that evening, before they ate the meal, they were arguing among themselves who was the greatest of them all. And then when Jesus said one of them was going to deny him, their pride-filled hearts now were filled with doubt and worry, anxiety, wonderment, questions, who it is, what's Jesus talking about? This institution of this new supper was so simple that probably would have gone by the wayside and not have been looked upon as being very special. Without a grandiose theatrics, no flashing light, no puff of smoke, Jesus simply took bread, very simple bread, the unleavened bread that was there, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and simply said, "This is my body." He didn't explain it. He didn't say, "This represents my body." He didn't say, "This pictures or symbolizes my body." He said, "This is my body." And then he also said, "Take, eat." And in a similar simplicity, he then took the cup of wine the same grape wine, the fruit of the vine that they had during the Passover, gave it to them and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Again, no further explanation. It's clear. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And also in Matthew, this is my blood. Jesus didn't say, this symbolizes my blood. This picture represents my blood. He didn't say, we should hold up the wafer, or the unleavened bread, and worship it, or pray to it. Simply drink from it, all of you. It's also very simple that we might even miss its glory. But this festival, this feast glory of the new covenant, is a glory beyond our imagining. Here's the Lamb of God, whom all those hundreds of thousands of lambs that were sacrificed in the Old Testament pointed to, pictured. This Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For Jesus comes in this new feast with forgiveness. He says that in his word. This is my blood shed for you for the remission of sins. Here's a lamb who gives himself as food for eternal life. Not as paint on a doorpost for physical life, but for spiritual, eternal life. But as we know, so many people miss the glory of this meal. The very fact that we see that this meal is celebrated not just this evening, once a year, but throughout the year may also cause us to look upon it as being not that special. Over the years, you too may forget the true significance and the meaning of this feast, this gift that God gives to us in Christ Jesus in this Lord's Supper. There's no glory. There's no glowing transformation in the bread and wine as we say the words of institution. It's all so simple that we could easily treat it as being an empty ceremony, something we've forgotten the reason for going maybe a couple years after we were examined and were confirmed. So why are you here tonight? Is it because everybody goes to communion on Monday, Thursday? Because it's a custom? A habit? We pray not. Jesus makes the purpose very clear. Jesus shows the glory that is in that simple meal. Listen to what he says. Let the words be inscribed in your heart. Let them sink deeply into your memory and don't ever forget them. Here is the bread of life, giving us his very body and blood for the assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins. Again, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus' last will and testament to his believers. The second point is, this is a feast that is itself the price of our salvation. Just think about that. This was Jesus' last will and testament before he died. He gave away no stocks and bonds. He had no silver and gold. He had no family heirloom of fine china or silverware. He didn't even own a home. In his estate, he had nothing worth anything. What did the soldiers get at the cross? A few pieces of cloth and that nicely woven tunic. Nothing of value except himself. And that's what he gave. This is his last will and testament to all of his believers. He gave himself. This is my body. This is my blood. Far greater and richer than all the gold and all the silver and all the riches this world could ever gather together. And who is this for you? It's you. It's me. Imagine, here's Jesus on this Monday, Thursday evening, knowing that in a few hours, he's going to be arrested, beaten, He's going to be whipped, crown of thorns crushing his head, going to be crucified. And in his mind and on his heart, he's thinking about you and about me. His mind is filled with thoughts of those who love him, thoughts of those who believe and trust in him. He spoke his last will and testament, and he makes you and me his beneficiaries. And so, having nothing else to give, he gives himself to us, and he gives himself for us. Look at this feast. Listen again and wonder its glory. This is my body. This is my blood. We don't need a symbol or representation of Christ's body and blood. This is the real, true, living Son of God and Son of Mary, in with and under the bread and wine for us Christians to eat and to drink. It's the same Jesus who spoke those words, who the next day went to the cross to shed his body and blood as a sacrifice for our sins. In anticipation for what will take place on Good Friday, Jesus instituted this supper of his body and blood on Maundy Thursday. This is the same Jesus who was still thinking about you and me when he was hanging on the cross, suffering the torments of hell and damnation, and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because the answer to that awful question is, God forsook his Son because he wanted our salvation. God forsook his own Son because Jesus wanted to suffer the torments of hell on the cross for you and for me. All around him, people were making fun of him, ridiculing him, saying, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Why didn't he come down? Because the night before, he spent time in prayer to his Heavenly Father, and he willed what his Father willed. He bequeathed to us that he would never be separated from us, and that we would have this eternal supper to eat on this earth, in this life, where we'd be combined with him. And the only way that could happen is if he'd shed his body and blood upon the cross for us, to be the full payment for your sins and for mine. You know, the world passes over the Lord's Supper as being confusing. Some look upon it with disdain, little interest. They question their faith and say, well, how can Jesus really be present in the bread and wine? Or they insult us as being primitive and actually been accused in history of being cannibals, eating the very flesh of the Son of God. And yet, in fact, today many Christians are confused about the Lord's Supper. Is Jesus' body and blood really truly present in the bread and wine? Or they miss it as being unimportant, insignificant, or they look upon it as being something that I must be worthy to come to. I have to earn my way to come to it. I got to be good enough to come and then receive God's forgiveness and God's remission. If you ask many people in our community here, they probably don't even know what Maundy Thursday is, much less what the Lord's Supper is all about. But in this meal and in the cross, we see the glory of the Son of God, the majesty of the Son of God. And the Lord gives us ordinary food and drink to preserve and sustain our bodies. Here we have food and drink that sustains and preserves our souls to eternal life. Here is Jesus, the living bread from heaven. Here is Jesus who gives us his very body and blood for us. What he paid for, the price he paid for, our sins. As he said, here is glory far more priceless than all the riches of the world. Here is a remedy far greater than any medicine that anyone could ever take. That's why he came down from heaven to earth. Therefore we come. Tonight we come with crushed hearts, contrite hearts, repentant hearts, filled with guilt and shame. We come with souls that are starving for food that will strengthen us for the ongoing battle with Satan, the sinful world, and our own flesh. We come thirsting for righteousness, forgiveness, salvation. We come to eat and to drink the price of our salvation in this meal. And when we're done, then we go. We go out and hold fast to that very one who, when he was dying on the cross, was thinking of us. We go out and hold fast and cling to that one who was betrayed, that one who died, that one who gave us his last will and testament for us, calling us his heirs, his inheritors of everlasting life, of the heaven that he would purchase by his very body and blood shed the next day, which is present in this meal. We go out with the gift of his body and blood that strengthens and preserves us for this life and for the life hereafter. What a remarkable feast. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.